case of he said, he said. While two opposing versions of what led to Turkey's downing of a Russian warplane over Syrian airspace expectedly exist, Russia is not sitting by. It is set to punish Turkey, which conveniently has, along with its NATO allies, said it does not want an escalation. Just a few years ago, Turkey and NATO's stance on airspace violations was a lot more forgiving when Turkey was accused of the same over Syria. In this edition of the debate, we broach both sides' arguments and the implications of the Turkish downing of a Russian jet over Syria. Let me now introduce our guests for this edition of the debate. We're joined by former Kremlin advisor, Mr. Alexander Nekrasov, who is joining us live from London. And we're also joined by reporter and political commentator, Ms. Maxine Dover, who is joining us live from New York. Thank you both for joining us for this edition of the debate. Mr. Dover, I'll start with you. In 2012, Syria shot down a Turkish fighter over its airspace. Erdogan's response at that time was, quote, a short-term border violation can never be a pretext for an attack. End quote. NATO also called it another example of Syrian authorities' disregard for international norms. Why hasn't there been a similar critique of Ankara?
It's a very delicate balance that we are all facing. Turkey is a member of NATO. 3 days or 2 days before this incident, this tragic incident occurred over the border, the Asian Times reported a level of cooperation that hasn't been seen in the area in many years. And that cooperation was hoped to be a joint venture between the NATO allies led by Turkey and Russia in stilling and eliminating the ISIS, allowing Assad to stay at the negotiating table, if nothing else. Then comes the downing of the plane, and the political geography is entirely changed. Why has there been no rumble of a war machine? I think because not one of the two major power structures wants war. There has been an attempt to quiet this, and yet this downing of the Russian plane is a very strong act on the part of Turkey, and Turkey is protected by its membership in NATO as far as backing from all military in the European and Western front.
Mr. Nekrasov, how do you feel about this? The difference between, of course, how the 2012 incident of the Turkish violation of Syrian airspace was handled and how this incident was being handled?
Well, first of all, I think we should remember that these incursions have been happening in the region and beyond for many, many times. It's not like it's been only Russia that Turkey is now insisting has been incurring into its airspace. So I think that common sense should prevail in such situations. And there are a lot of methods to show your displeasure if this happens without shooting down the plane altogether. So I think personally that this was a pre-planned action, because I don't imagine Turkey shooting down a Russian plane without the consent of NATO and especially the Americans. So there must have been a conversation before that, and I think the decision was taken that if there would be a so-called violation, which, by the way, the Russians insist that the plane has never been in the airspace of Turkey, and the pilot who has been saved says the same. But I think that there was an instruction given to the Turkish armed forces to shoot a Russian plane if it's alleged to cross into their airspace. This is a very dangerous game, and I personally believe that the United States would love to see Turkey and Russia being on a knife edge. They would love to see this tension grow in the area, because let's face it, the only reason, the only aim that America and its allies have is to bring down Assad in Syria, to bring down the government. But we always ask the Americans, with what are you going to replace that government? They have no answer for that. They talk about, you know, moderate opposition and so on. So this sort of confusion, when everybody is playing their own game, then they have their own agendas, when the West and other the allies are saying, we want to destroy Daesh, but in reality, they're playing many more other games. This will not allow whatever coalition we are talking about to destroy Daesh. Daesh will only be stronger if there is more conflict within this coalition and with other people who, with other countries that are taking part in this battle.
Mr. Avera, how do you feel about the Turkish version of events says that obviously the Russian jet was in Turkish airspace for 17 seconds. So if we were to run with that for a moment, many people say that even if we accept that version of events, it still suggests that Turkey was almost waiting for a Russian plane to come into its airspace or even close enough to just have an excuse to attack it. Certainly, again, going back to that argument that Mr. Nekrasov made about a pre-planned attack, how do you feel about that?
It's hard to argue that there would have never been a conversation about the what if a Russian jet strayed into Turkish airspace. 17 seconds is a very, very minute time, even in flight time. Could there have been a lack of listening to a warning? Could there have been a lack of warning? This is going to be a very important question to answer. I would tend to disagree that there was a pre-plan within the entirety of NATO, but there may very well have been a pre-planned what if on the part of Turkish military and the Turkish Air Force. To shoot down a significant air vehicle like a Su-24 doesn't happen without some thought and some planning. We recently talked about the accidents that can happen when one target is hit, when another is meant to be hit. This was a direct, I'm on you kind of hit. And yes, I agree, there had to be some pre-planning in the sense of if a plane should happen to stray, what do we do? The scenarios must have been set. I would very much question, however, whether or not that would extend beyond the Turkish military. I think this may have been a sort of in-house decision. And as I said earlier, Turkey does benefit from the fact that it's a NATO ally. And the allies of each group will tend to support one another. What is hopeful in the situation is that neither the Turkish Air Force nor the Russian Air Force seems to want to escalate this into a shooting war. There's a lot of maneuvering, there's a lot of conversation, but there is an attempt to quiet the damage that could occur.
And Mr. Nekrasov, how do you feel about that? Because certainly, if we accept that this was pre-planned even on the Turkish side, Mr. Nekrasov, I'm wondering, is Turkey looking for a confrontation with Russia or NATO?
Well, I would never buy the theory that it was the Turkish military themselves or even the Turkish leadership who made this decision about possible downing of a Russian bomber without consulting Washington. It just doesn't work like that. You know, my position regarding NATO, you know, I always say NATO is a racket run by the United States. When any member has to go through Washington to ask permission to do something substantial like that. So we should not even discuss this matter in the sense that it was a Turkish decision. No way. It was obviously agreed with America, maybe with Brussels as well. I think it was a very dangerous decision. It was a substantial mistake. First of all, for Turkey to say, and then immediately for Obama and others to pick it up, that it was defending its territory, it's absurd. There was no danger from the plane, even if that plane flew into the Turkish airspace. There was absolutely no danger from that plane to a Turkish territory, to Turkish armed forces, and so on. And this is why everyone in Moscow is puzzled why on earth such a dangerous decision was taken. But on the other hand, of course, there is desperation on the part of Turkey and some other countries in the region who want Assad out, you know, by any means. And of course, the Russians were hitting the Daesh and their affiliates very hard, and it probably makes Turkey and some other countries very fearful, because the whole effort seems to be falling apart. The effort, I mean, targeted at removing Assad. I think until these countries, and America as well, and NATO, realize that Daesh is the enemy at the moment, that trying to remove Daesh together with Assad is madness. It doesn't work like this. They have to cooperate with Assad and with the Kurds on the ground. Otherwise, this conflict will never end.
Mr. Overa, I wanted to talk about the Russian retaliation here so far, because, you know, Turkey and Erdogan have called the reaction so far from Russia, quote, emotional and unfitting of politicians. The announcements, of course, about the possible ending of certain, or suspension, pardon me, of certain agreements with Turkey, between Turkey and Russia, that is. Certainly, though, for many people looking at the situation from the outside in, Russia has not acted militarily, but has acted in a very calm and collected manner in response to this. So how is that emotional or unfitting?
I would have to agree that Russia has acted in a political, economic way, which is certainly not emotional or unfitting. I would tend to think that Russia could have taken very dramatic alternate actions, military actions, had it acted in an emotional way. Rather, it is a calculated response. It is an appropriate response, and the political card is being played rather well, and primarily rather than the military response. This is not an emotional response. The interpretation obviously is going to be different on the part of the Turks than it is on the part of the Russians.
So, Ms. Dover, do you think that Turkey will regret its actions?
That question will be dictated, the answer to that question will be dictated by the next several days' actions on the part of Turkey and Russia. Should there be a success in calming this heightened tension and in securing some sort of a, if not an apology, at least an acknowledgement that greater care has to be taken, or each side should act with greater caution, then I hope that that will diffuse the heat that is very, very much a problem of the moment. Will Turkey regret its action if it is the start of a hot war? I don't think Turkey is very anxious to have such a hot war. Turkey wanted to make a statement. Should that statement have been a warning shot? Certainly that would have been preferable. Should that statement have avoided bringing down the jet, perhaps causing the jet problems, perhaps turning the jet back would have been a much better action, rather than bringing down the jet.
Okay, if you allow me, Ms. Dover, I wanted to put some of those points then to Mr. Nekrasov. Mr. Nekrasov, I'm wondering about how you feel about a Russian reaction so far, and if, again, as I put to Mr. Dover, Turkey will regret this.
Well, first of all, I think that I agree completely that it was a measured reaction. I think everybody was expecting some sort of a drumbeat, like it would have happened if an American bomber would have been shot down. I think the Americans would probably have reacted in, you know, immediately and used some military force. Russia was practically immediately announced that there would be no military retaliation. I think 3 hours or 4 hours after that incident, the Kremlin spokesman said there will be no military response. So that was a good, development. Now, I think actually, strangely enough, the advantage is now on the Russian side, because the Turks are now being, they are worried, obviously. They are nervous. What is going to happen? And I think when you have this advantage in political diplomatic relations, you can actually get concessions out of the other side. I think the Russians can actually now dictate the conditions to Turkey and say, this is what we want you to do. You have done a bad thing to us. You have basically committed a crime against us, but this is what we are now going to want you to do. And if you are not going to do this, then we are going to hit you hard with sanctions, and economically you will suffer, you will pay a high price. I think that is how it should develop. I'm hoping that is how it is developing. And if, when you are saying whether Turkey regrets it, I come back, to the same point I made before. I think Turkey has been acting on instructions from Washington. So it can't really regret carrying out an order coming from Washington. So it might be not very happy what it has done, but there's nothing it can do about it until it's in NATO. And then NATO, as I said already, you listen to the boss, and the boss is America. The rest are just members who do what they're told.
Okay, we just have a couple of minutes left, so I wanted to get both of your final thoughts. Mr. Rivera, I'll first give you a minute or so to get your final thoughts. Where do we go from here? We've already had the Russians say what they may do. We'll, of course, as you said, in the coming days, see exactly what happens. What are you expecting to happen?
If we have intelligence on all of the sides, then we will be able to box this horrific incident as an incident not to be a determinant of future policy. My colleague in Russia is quite right. The attack has to be on Daesh as a primary. Assad is going to be handled by his own people eventually. The damage that he has done will cost him in his own future. But Daesh is reaching out to every place. It has destroyed the sanctity of Paris. We know that in Russia, schools have been shot up. In the south of France, schools have been shot up. The level of security in New York, especially as the Thanksgiving parade was underway and the preparations were underway, was immense. It's a kind of security that we in New York have not experienced, certainly since 9/11.
I do apologize for cutting into your words, Ms. Dover. We have under a minute left, so I just want to get the final word from Mr. Nekrasov. Then, Mr. Nekrasov, how do you feel about how this will play out now?
Well, I think that will be tension for a while. I think we will see tough language coming from Moscow and probably tough replies from Turkey. But unfortunately, the whole thing lies with America and the NATO allies. I mean, if they're going to continue playing those games behind the scenes, we will continue to see tension. There's nothing much anyone can do. I think that all sides should use this tragic incident with the downing of the Russian plane to actually try to cooperate with each other rather than fight with each other and play their own games and carry out their own agendas. Let's hope this incident will push politicians to talk to each other and work with each other.
Okay, we'll leave it there at that note. But of course, we do appreciate both of your contributions to this edition of the debate. That was former Kremlin advisor, Mr. Alexander Nekrasov, who had been speaking to us live from London. And we were also joined by reporter and political commentator, Ms. Maxine Dover, who had been speaking to us live from New York. And of course, viewers, we do appreciate you watching as well. Until next time, good night.